Robert Blaha. Robert Blaha, thank you for coming on 710 KNUS.
Well, thanks, Craig. Thanks for having me.
I was just talking about the Gravina family with Jim coming from a family of seven kids, Gail coming from seven kids. They had seven kids of their own. You're a married guy, right? Your wife's name is Susan?
Yeah, yeah. We've been married 38 years, and we have seven kids. So
holy
I guess we got
cow.
The sevens going here.
Sevens
we got
a
the
while.
Sevens going here.
It must be a great weekend for John Elway. I hope so.
Well, I hope it's a great great weekend for all of us that are part of the Bronco Nation, so I'm excited about it.
Robert Blaha, you're running for the United States Senate. We've seen your commercials on television, quite an ad buy you made, but let's find out about you and who you are, where you come from. Where do you come from originally, Robert?
Well, Craig, I was born and raised in Iowa, and went to undergraduate there at the University of Iowa, and then my wife and I got married, and we kind of did the corporate thing for about 15, 18 years, worked for a bunch of corporations, climbed the corporate ladder, and then decided we wanted to put some permanent roots down with our family and kids, and so we chose Colorado. We've been here for 23, 24 years, something like that. And we've loved it. It's been a great place to raise our family, love the outdoors, and so this is where we kind of put our stake down.
Well, let's not just speed through your experience with the Iowa Hawkeyes. I understand you were quite an athlete there. Brag on yourself a little
well,
bit.
Well, that might be an overstatement. I played there for all 4 years, lettered a few.
In what sports?
Played in football. In football, and it was a great experience, Craig. It's a great way to. Great way to meet people, great way to see the country, and if you're a scholarship athlete, you're taken care of, as you probably know pretty well. But the important thing was I wasn't good enough to play pro ball, no question about that. But the fact I went to school, studied, and showed up really opened some doors for me.
What position did you play?
I played offensive guard, a little bit of linebacker, a lot of specialty teams. And got to travel all around the country, and we had a great team. We weren't a tremendous team like they are now. I don't know whether you saw this year.
Yes.
We set it down in our bowl game, but it was just a phenomenal way to get experience, see the world, and meet a lot of really, really quality people.
Big Ten, big quality football. Tell us some of the contemporaries you played with who went on to careers in the NFL.
Well, there was the Jeter boys. They were pretty good. I played football with a guy named Bruce Devlin. Let me tell you about Bruce. Bruce was a huge man. He dwarfed everybody else. He went on and played and was all pro for a number of years in the NFL. A really quality guy. He looked like little Abner. This guy was like 6'6", 6'7", and this was a lot of years ago, went about 270 or 280, and back in the day, I mean, he looked like he was cut out of granite, and it was quite the player. Was with the Bills, was an all-pro player with the Bills. He was probably the best guy I played with. I played with a guy named Jim Jensen that played with the Cowboys that was quite an athlete, too. So it was just a great experience. A lot of great people. Some of the guys that weren't the best players like myself have gone on to have very successful business careers, and it's just nice to kind of be part of that network.
I'm wondering if Jim Jensen had a cup of coffee with the Broncos. I'm trying to look that up.
I think he did. Look it up. I think he did. I think he did. I think he might have had a cup of coffee. Might even have had a sandwich. But he was a good player. He was with Dallas for a number of years.
Well, let me see. I'm looking him up. He was born November 28th, 1953, running back for the Dallas Cowboys, Denver Broncos, and the Green Bay Packers.
There you go.
In fact, he was part of the first Super Bowl team with the Broncos in 77. How about that?
How about that?
Well,
so Jimmy was a good guy. Another guy that I played with that has gone on to tremendous business success is a guy named Doug Reichardt. And Doug remains a friend to this day. Doug made his career and his experience in the insurance fields, and he's gone on. And, when you go through that kind of experience, Craig, I don't want to say it's like a fraternity or a pact or whatever, but you build some really long-term life relationships, And a lot of these guys are just super people to this day.
Right, and you know how to compete. Right now you're in a competition with a lot of other members of the Republican Party to take on Michael Bennett. It seems to me that athletes are naturals for competition, but most of your time was in the corporate world. Give us a taste of what you did after you graduated from Iowa.
Well, I worked for four major corporations, started with Ford Motor Company, and then bounced around with a couple others and wound up with a very large multinational named ASEA Brown Boveri, which at the time was the world's largest joint venture, and put a few years in there and was able to have some success in the corporate world. And then, as I said, Susan and I decided we wanted to start our own thing. And so we began a leadership company that specialized in training leaders, developing leaders, and attacking waste and variation in large bureaucracies. And that's really principally what I've done for the last quarter century.
Is that called consulting work?
Part of it's consulting, part of it's educational work, Craig. You know, when you get in this kind of field, and you've been doing it as many years as I have, it takes you a lot of places. Traditionally, you might call it consulting, but a lot of it winds up being partnering with, you know, with some corporations to really help them execute and attack waste and variation in their enterprises, help their leaders grow in a different way. And I gained a lot of those skills in industry and then just transferred that into the, you know, into the consulting world. And that's what we've done for a long time.
Have you got HBO, and have you ever watched the show House of Lies, starring Don Cheadle, an East High graduate?
No, I don't.
Have you ever heard about that show?
I've heard about it, but I've never seen it.
Well, it's a team of smart people who go into corporations and make fixes. I just wondered if that was true to life or not, but if you haven't seen it, you probably won't know.
Well, I wouldn't, but I will say that when you build credibility in enterprises, you have a tremendous amount of influence. And so what you try to do is you listen a lot, and when you see the opportunity to kind of roll out what you think the right game plan and methodology is, you pull the trigger. If you've got the credibility to make it happen, it works. If you don't, they don't pay any attention. And, you know, we've been doing this a quarter century, so it's keeping the lights on.
Well, that's good. What part of Colorado did you decide to make your home?
We wound up in northern El Paso County. It was kind of funny. Susan said, if I can see my neighbors, I'm not moving in. So we bought a piece of land. We bought a piece of land, and Craig, believe it or not, got two chainsaws, started cutting down trees, and, you know, kind of did the old-fashioned cut down trees, build the basement with your contractor, and that's how we started. That's how we started here in Colorado.
And were you manning the chainsaw yourself, or did you make your wife Susan do it?
Well, I can't remember whether she had the 18-inch blade or the 16-inch blade, but I had the bigger saw. But what we'd do is we'd cut down trees, and then we'd cut it into slash. The kids would help load it in wagons and trucks, and we'd take it off the property, and then we built the house. It was a phenomenally, a once in a lifetime phenomenal experience.
Well, that area around north of Colorado Springs, the Black Hills, I don't know. To me, it's a weird area. Most of my experience is playing golf at the Air Force Academy, and I can never figure out exactly which mountain influences what putt. So that's my major experience around there.
Craig, it always goes away from the mountain. Just remember, away from the mountain. Wherever you are, find the mountain. It's rolling away from the mountain.
Well, that's easy for you to say, but there are little hills that might influence. I don't know why, but I can't make any putts down there, but maybe that's a personal problem. I do have up on my website a link to robertblaha.com and your very interesting commercial. There's a longer version than we see on regular television. It goes on for about 5 minutes. See your beautiful family, and I can tell because your wife of 38 years, Susan, says, my husband's very confident, he's bold, he's not afraid of confrontation. Is that all true?
Well, Craig, I've made a history of looking people straight in the eye, telling them what I think, and it works. And I think if there's anything that we don't have now, we have a bunch of people that are, you know, testing things, seeing which way the wind's blowing, making sure that things go through focus groups. And I think people are tired of that. I think people just want somebody to look them in the eye, say what they're thinking, say what they're going to do, commit to it, and go do it.
And what do you think of the U.S. Senate right now, the place you aspire to? Is it functional or non-functional, and who do you blame?
It's a bozo circus.
And is it the fault of the Democrats?
I think it's more Democrats. But, you know, when the permanent political class, which is what I call the group that's in control, when the permanent political class is in control and it's all about, can I get reelected? Can I get the right committee assignment? Can I wind up with the right office? If that's the mentality that you wind up going to D.C. in, you've lost before you ever get there. And I think we see a lot of that. We see a lot of pandering and posturing that has actually accelerated in the last few years. And it's very dysfunctional.
Are you a fan of Mitch McConnell?
You know, I don't think I'm at the top of Mitch's favorite person list. You know, I'm running against the permanent political class. And what I talk about is the fact that if we send the same people there with the same abilities, we'll get the same outcomes. And if we don't, and as I travel around the state, Greg, I'll tell you what I hear. I hear people clamoring for a different cut of individual. They're saying they want people that have backgrounds and experiences that have done something else. They're tired of people on both sides of the aisle. This is a both sides of the aisle thing. They're tired on people on both sides of the aisle going there, staying forever, doing 25, 30, 35 years, and not making any difference. And they want people that will go in, that have backgrounds and experiences, that will do something, serve, and then go home. What a novel idea, Craig.
Rather
be served.
Right. Well, when we come back, I'm going to play you a call of the week that touches on this very topic. I want Robert Blaha's reaction to it. We'll be right back on 710 KNUS. Another lawyer I know is Dan Kaplis. He's off to the Super Bowl. I'll be filling in for him on Monday. We can either celebrate or commiserate together. But Dan had a heck of a week. You know, Dan thought about running for the U.S. Senate. He's declined. Robert Blaha is in the race. The guy who did win the last Senate race is Cory Gardner. And recently, he's caught a lot of grief from callers to 710 KNUS. That kind of sentiment sort of took over Dan's show the other day, and people said, you know what, Cory Gardner should do more. He's too palsy-walsy with Mitch McConnell and some other rhinos in their judgment. And it all led to this call of the week that I'm asking Robert Blaha to listen to, and we'll get his perspective on it when we get done playing it.
The Craig Silverman Show presents the best call of the week.
You're on the air.
On News Talk 710 KNUS.
You know, Dan and I argue about a lot of things, but not about the Iran nuke deal. It was a disaster, and I advocated they get rid of that 60-vote rule, what's called cloture. And I'm glad I don't have to argue with Dan Kaplis about that.
I'll tell you another area where reasonable people disagree, and I tend to side with those who disagree, is, you know, when it comes to, say, the Iran nuke deal. You know, the U.S. Senate at that point, I think the U.S. Senate has to do away with cloture, which where you have to get 60 votes to even get something to the floor. Because until Republicans have a much larger majority, you know, you're just not even going to be able to get something to the floor. So nothing gets done. And on something as important as the Iran deal, because it's going to be devastating to our country, I think the GOP at that point should have taken that next step and should have done away with cloture and should have done more to stop the Iran deal.
I agree. And Dan was responding to a series of callers who are giving endless grief to Cory Gardner that he's gone to Washington and done nothing. Then he picks up the line and he gets Dave on, and Dave continues it.
Dave, you're with Dan Kaplis, 710 KNUS. Good morning.
Hey, Dan. I would like to just piggyback on what Joe was saying. I have the same feelings about Cory Gardner. I don't believe that one bit that he's a conservative. He's just another rhino, like you said, over-controlled politician. And we're paying the price for it. And you wanted specifics? I look at the two debt ceilings that he voted for. He's not principled there because he's voting for it, voting against it. And this latest omnibus bill, he voted for it, stood in line with Michael Bennett, and Obama, and Pelosi, and Reid.
Well, there you get the drift of it. And he has palled around with Michael Bennett. It's almost like Chris Christie hugging Barack Obama. What are you doing, Cory Gardner? Don't you know Michael Bennett's going to be up for re-election? But enough from Dave and from me. Let's go to the man who wants to replace Michael Bennett. Robert Blaha, I hope you got to hear all that. What did you think?
Well, I did. When you say, what do I think? Well, what I think is this. I think that Corey's a big guy and he can stand and answer for himself. But let me tell you what I believe. What I believe is that the Iranian nuclear deal was singularly the worst piece of foreign domestic policy I've seen in my lifetime, that it puts all of us in America at risk, that it should be at the very minimum stopped and sanctions put back in. The omnibus bill, which was the second part of that clip, the omnibus bill was a big mistake. It was one of the most pork-laden bills in the history of our country, and I would have voted no. So what I stand for is pretty clear.
Well, God bless you on that, and I'm on record, too. Michael Bennett may have his good points, but when he voted for the Iran nuke deal and betrayed a lot of people that he promised he would oppose that, he needs to come back to Colorado and find another job, or he can stay on the East Coast, but I don't want him representing me in the U.S. Senate anymore.
Well, he's an East Coaster anyhow. He should stay on the East Coast. Michael Bennett, in a nutshell, is just way too extreme for us. He has been Obama's lapdog, you know, feeding on Purina now for the last several years. He voted 100%, and you probably know this, but 100% with Obama this last cycle, between his support of the Iranian deal, Obamacare, the omnibus bill. It just goes on and on. He's a gift that never keeps given. It just keeps on giving. And he's just not right for Colorado, and I think most people realize that. That's why his polling numbers are upside down.
Well, let's find out about Robert Blaha. I'm going to hit you with a lot of quick issues, and I'd like quick responses if it's possible. Immigration, what's the Blaha plan?
Close the borders. Immigration is a great thing. We're a country of immigrants, but you cannot allow people from terrorist and rogue nations to immigrate to this country. The issue really is one of vetting. If we can't vet people, Craig, and know who they are, know their backgrounds, and feel comfortable that they're coming to our country, we can't allow it, period.
What's your tax plan, Robert Blaha?
Well, first and foremost, get rid of the IRS. The IRS is a dysfunctional organization. It doesn't work. It needs to be, at the very minimum, greatly downsized. We need to get tax rates that are consistent that will make us competitive in a global environment, and it's not 35% for any type of corporations. We've got to get down in the 20s, and we have to have a much more competitive tax rate for all the rest of us and for the working folks around the country that are supporting this country.
Any estate tax? The so-called death tax?
It's got to be eliminated. What the death tax does is it disincentivizes people from having family businesses. People can take generations. I've talked to people around this state, Craig, that have for decades, in some cases 100-plus years, had family businesses, ranches, et cetera. The death tax is a bad thing. It needs to be eliminated.
Are you pro-life or pro-choice?
Pro-life.
Any exceptions?
When you say exceptions, you mean exceptions for
life of the mother,
incest, rape. Yeah, I would allow for the exception to life of the mother, but you know, there's two sides to that issue.
What about incest and rape?
Well, I only have the one exception, and that's okay, for the life of the mother. But let me make a comment about that real quick. As I think a lot of us would say, it's a Tenth Amendment issue. Roe v. Wade was a bad decision. We need to allow the states to vote and to get back in the discussion on that. It's an issue that people should be able to debate. They should be able to discuss. It should have never been decided at a federal level, and we need to get it back to the states, and I would support any and every effort to get it back to the states and let the state and the people in the states decide that issue.
What about Colorado and marijuana? How do you stand on that?
Well, that's a tough one, Craig, and I'll tell you why. Because the people in Colorado have stood up, and I feel a little bit different. I have no problem with medical marijuana. I think the jury is still way out on what's going to happen with recreational marijuana. I've read studies on both sides of it, but I don't think, Craig, maybe you've got some information you can share with her, but I have not seen any conclusive studies that say, you know, what actually is happening with the legalization. But just as a general theory, I don't think it makes sense to inebriate a higher percentage of society. I don't think that's probably the best idea.
Right, but isn't it a Tenth Amendment issue? Shouldn't Colorado have a right to do its thing?
Yep, exactly. It's a Tenth Amendment issue, and that's why I said what I said to start with. The people have stated what they felt about it.
What about Islam? How do you feel about the religion of Islam?
Well, I'm a strong supporter. I'm a Christian and have been, you know, the majority of my life. I'm a strong supporter of religious rights, but I do think that at the end of the day, this is a country, the United States, that was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. And that is what drives our system. It's what the foundation of our legal system was. And so if people are from other faiths and they're willing to come and live here and integrate into our society and respect our laws, I'm fine.
Do you understand do you understand what the word Islam means when you translate
it? I think I do, but what translation are you using?
Well, I'm using one different than President Obama used in that Baltimore mosque.
He
said Islam is like the word salam or shalom, that it means peace. But I've read people who say, no, that's not accurate. Islam means submission. Submit.
Well, the technical definition in translating into English is much closer to submission than it is to the other.
How do you stand on guns?
Well, I'm a strong Second Amendment advocate. Believe that it's a foundational principle of our country, and I've spoken out pretty broadly about that for a lot of years.
Who is your favorite political pundit? Whose columns do you enjoy reading?
You know, I like Thomas Sowell. Well, I like a lot of different people. And the reason I do is I like some of his economic analysis and how he's able to kind of transfer some of his thoughts into mainstream. And I like his view on a minimalist government. I come out of kind of the Chicago school. I am a strong advocate for a minimal amount of steerage by the government. And I think that's important, and he does a very good job echoing that.
Who are your favorite political leaders of your lifetime?
Of my lifetime?
Yes.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't throw Ronald Reagan in there, obviously, but that's kind of a given.
What about a Colorado guy?
Well, let me talk about nationally some of the people I like right now. I like Ben Sasse. I like Ben Sasse, the freshman senator out of Nebraska. He's a very refreshing guy. He's got a great mind. He thinks things through well. He articulates his position in a clear and concise way. And I think we need more of that. And he doesn't want to spend 50 years in Washington either. And I think we need more people that have that mindset, that come with different backgrounds and experiences and are willing to stand on their own two feet and defend liberty.
Who do you like in the presidential sweepstakes right now on the Republican side?
Anybody but Hillary. You know, I mean, the top three. Here's what's interesting, Craig. The top three candidates, all three of them, whether you take Trump or Cruz or Rubio, but all three of them are arguably different than what we thought we were going to get. You know, we thought we were going to get one of the one or two or three mainstream candidates. I think that sends a message to America. And what I'm hearing America say is, we want a different cut. The wind is blowing in a different direction. We want folks that have a different set of abilities. And, you know, and all three of those individuals are polling very well. You know, if you add it up between the three of them, you know, they've got three quarters of the vote.
Right, but Donald Trump's been called a buffoon by Cory Gardner, a total fraud by Ken Buck, and your man Ben Sasse has been going around the country saying even worse things about Donald Trump. How do you feel about Donald Trump?
I think Donald Trump says what a lot of us think. I don't like how Donald Trump sometimes says it, so let me separate the message from the messenger. The message that he's delivering is very similar to what I think a lot of us believe. The way he delivers it sometimes, I think, could use a whole lot of work. But then again, you know, if you look at that, you've got to realize just how far outside the mainstream he is. And he is very far outside the mainstream, as is Cruz, as is in some ways Rubio. So, I mean, all three of these guys are coming from a totally different viewpoint. America's saying we want something different, and that's pretty clear. And it's really frustrating the permanent political class.
Well, I understand that. Robert Blaha, our time is just about over. I hope you enjoyed coming on my show. If I can line up some debates amongst Republican candidates, would you be willing to come in and debate them here on my show?
Absolutely. Let's hook it up, Craig. That's the greatest thing that America has is the public discourse that takes place, and I think we should engage in it a lot more.
Give me your Bronco Panther score.
24-17, Cam makes two big plays. We have a couple key sacks, and the Broncos and Peyton take home the hardware. Go Broncos.
Robert Blaha, he says, take the Broncos. They're going to win straight under. Only a total of 41. I think the over-under is 44.5. Robert Blaha, really enjoyed speaking with you. Let's stay in touch, okay?
Thanks, Greg. I appreciate the time. Have a great day.
You too. Wow, that was fun. I'm hoping Tyrone Braxton's going to walk through the door any moment. That'll be exciting. On the other side on 710 KNUS.